Today the Feast of the Ascension has moved from its traditional place on Thursday, this past Thursday, to Sunday, and in many dioceses throughout the country and the world. And today we acknowledge that our Lord was, who spent some 33 years with us and 40 days after His resurrection, was taken up, or shall we say, not taken up, but ascended Himself by His own power into heaven. And we know the basics of this feast. It says that the Lord was talking with them at the end of the Acts of the Apostles, and it says as they were looking on, He was lifted up, and a cloud took Him from their sight. And they were looking intently into the sky as He was going. And I'd like to talk to you, first of all, about the fact of the ascension today. Now, we need to do a little bit of homework to appreciate some of the things that were going on behind the scenes. You see, when the Lord ascended into heaven, He did not simply go there alone. He took many with Him, including, as I hope to show you, our very selves. But for a little bit of background, today's reading from Ephesians in the 4th chapter, the Lord talks, or the scriptures talk about the Lord ascending, and when He ascended, it says that He led a whole host of captives and gave gifts to men. Now, what's this? The background of this text is this: that when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, we say in some of the translations of the creed that He descended into hell. But the hell that the Lord went to was not the hell of the damned. It was that place where all the dead were asleep, waiting for the Messiah to come and reopen the gates of heaven and restore us to friendship with God. So when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, for those 3 days He went down among the dead. And the scripture also says in the book of the Ephesians, it says, therefore, when the Lord went there, it says, therefore, He said, awake, O sleeper, and Christ will give you light. And so, you see, the Lord is among the dead, and the Hebrew people called that place Sheol. The Greeks called it Hades, but the Lord went down, and He started to wake up the dead. He started to wake them up. He went down there into the devil's trophy room, where the devil had lots of trophies. There was Adam and Eve and King David, and we see that Jeremiah and all the great prophets, all of them, when they died, could not go to heaven, for the Lord Jesus had not yet come to open the gates of heaven. But now that He had died, He went down among them. It says in 1 Peter chapter 4, the gospel was preached even to the dead, so that they may live in the Spirit like God. And so the Lord goes and He wakes them up and preaches to them. Must have been quite a sermon that down there in Sheol, amen? And the Lord is turning out the devil's trophy room, shaking the place up, and calling the dead who were just to wake up. Now, I don't know all the details of that sermon that the Lord might have preached to them, but 1 Peter does say, the gospel was preached even to the dead. The Lord descended to the lower realms of the earth. Now, therefore, the Lord must have said something to them to this effect. Wait here now yet another 40 days, and you and I will return to the heart of the Father, will return as the gates of heaven are opened. Now, with that background in mind, that the Lord went down among the dead and preached to them and prepared them to go with Him to glory, Then for 40 days, he came and spoke to us among the living. Now, at the end of 40 days, the Lord ascended. But listen again to what Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8 says. Therefore it is said, when the Lord ascended on high, he led forth a host of captives and gave gifts to men. In saying that he ascended, what does this mean but that first he also descended into the lower realms of the earth? And he who descended is the one who also ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. So brothers and sisters, I want you to note something. When the Lord ascended, he didn't go to heaven alone. The text here says, he led forth a host, that is to say, a large army of those who had been captives, asleep in death, waiting for the Messiah. And as he goes, the saints and the angels are singing, a blare of trumpets for the Lord. The angels are singing, and Jesus leads forth a royal band into heaven. And I have it on the best of authority that as they were ascending, they were singing a Motown song. Your love is lifting me higher than I've ever been lifted before. Do you see what's happening this day? The gates of heaven are reopened. And the Lord leads forth a victorious band of the saints. There's Jeremiah. There's Adam and Eve. There's King David. There's Rachel and Leah. All of these holy men and women, Abraham, all of them are in this holy train. And so many that whose names we don't know, but the Lord did. And so you see what's happening today in the Feast of the Ascension. I hope that you can let your imagination see the beauty and the majesty of this moment as the Lord reopens the gates of heaven and enters there not alone, but with many for whom he has won the great victory. Now, brothers and sisters, I also want to say to you that not only to talk about some of the facts of the Ascension, but rather, I also want to say to you that there's a fellowship in the Ascension. Again, a background text is important to understand this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27, St. Paul says this, now you, he's talking to us, now you are the body of Christ. Individually, you are members of the body of Christ. Now, where the head of the body goes, the rest of the body goes. At least I hope so. If I were to get out of this pulpit and walk over and go out that back door where the head of the body decides to go, I sure do hope the rest of my body does go, in fact. And if it doesn't, I'm in pretty serious trouble. You might say I'm falling apart. But if the body is one, where the head of the body chooses to go, the rest of the body goes. Now, do you therefore see that when Christ ascends, all of us, in a mysterious but very real way, ascend with him? Again, Scripture helps us here. Romans 6 and verse 3. All of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. By baptism, we were buried together with him. So that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father, we too might live a new and a more glorious life. What Paul is saying is that when Jesus died, we who were members of his body, we died too. And when Christ rose from the dead, we, as members of his body, we rose too. And when Christ ascended, we did too. In a mysterious way, you and I are already seated with Jesus at the right hand of the Father. You might say, how can this be so? I don't understand. He's up there and I'm down here. Let me give you a silly example, but it works. If I get on an elevator and punch the button for the 8th floor, do you understand how the top of my head gets to the 8th floor before the soles of my feet? Brothers and sisters, Christ has ascended. Christ, our head, has ascended and is already at the right hand of the Father. And we, who are members of His body, are ascending with Him. If you remain one with Christ, you too are already ascending to the Father. Again, a very serious problem would happen if I go through that door in the back, my right hand goes with me, unless through some horrible thing my right hand is severed. As long though as my right hand stays attached to my body, if I go through that door, so does my right hand. Well, brothers and sisters, as long as you are one with Christ in the life of grace, as He ascends, you will ascend. But here is a warning. Sin separates us, severs us from the body of Christ. Mortal or serious sin severs us from the body of Christ. If you are aware of any serious, any mortal sin in your life, get to confession as fast as you can. Because it does not follow that where Christ goes, we will follow if we are severed or separated from His body. Are you praying with me in this? And if you know of anyone who is in serious sin, urge them to be reunited with the Lord, so that where He goes, they also may go. But I've got news for you. If my right hand were mysteriously severed or horribly severed from my body and stayed here in the pulpit, the rest of me goes out that door, but the right hand does not. We need to be serious in our life about repenting of sin and being in union with the Lord. And there are many sins that are very serious. People think there's no such thing as serious sin anymore. Brothers and sisters, the Scriptures speak over and over again about very, quote, ordinary things that can separate us from God. For example, simply refusing to forgive. Difficult as that can be, the Lord says, if you do not forgive the sins of others, your Father will not forgive you your sins. Or likewise, despising the poor. The Lord says, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me drink. The text goes on to say that those who are like that will go off to eternal punishment, and the just to eternal glory. Other sins, obviously murder and adultery, fornication. The Scripture says that fornicators do not inherit the kingdom of heaven. We have to always be aware of how serious these things are, and that they separate us from the life of God. And so, brothers and sisters, there is a fellowship that as Christ our head ascends, so do we, as long as we remain in union with Him as members of His body. But make no mistake, serious sin severs us from the body. Only the grace of reconciliation can restore us to union with the body. Well, the final thing I want to tell you today is not just the fact of this, the ascension and the fellowship that we have with the ascension, but I also want to talk to you about the fruitfulness of the ascension. Four things that the Lord ascended to give us. Four things: Holy Ghost power, harvest, help, and habitation. Now, first of all, Holy Ghost power. You see, the Lord says here in John 16, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So the Lord ascends in order to send us the Holy Spirit. Now that's next Sunday. So fasten your seatbelts. Next Sunday, Feast of Pentecost. Amen? One of the feast days of this parish, Holy Comforter, which is the title of the Holy Spirit. Now, not to anticipate next week too much, but do you understand what the Lord is giving us with the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the love of God. The Holy Spirit is the life of God. The Holy Spirit dwells in us like a temple to set us on fire and bring us up to the temperature of glory, to completely transform us into the very holiness of God. And the Lord says, I've got to give you this Holy Spirit. And in order to give it, I must leave this earth and go to my Father's right side. But I and He will send our Holy Spirit. I will not leave you as orphans. My very Spirit, my very love, my very life will continue to dwell, not just among you, but inside of you. And so the first gift that the Lord gives us when He ascends is the Holy Spirit. The Lord does not ascend to leave us alone. The Lord ascends so that from that place He can give us many gifts. The first gift, the Holy Spirit. The second gift, the harvest. The Lord says in John 12, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Says that in Acts chapter 1 in today's first reading. And you, when you receive the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria all the way to the ends of the earth. And so the Lord, when He ascends, sits at His Father's right hand and He looks out on all creation. He looks out on all humanity and He says, I must draw them to myself. And the Lord is coordinating and equipping and empowering the evangelical work of the church to go and make disciples of all the nations. That was His concluding commandment. Go, therefore, unto all the nations and teach them everything that I've commanded you and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the Lord at the right hand of the Father is praying for us, interceding for us, and equipping, empowering, and enabling us to bring all the nations to Him. Not only does the Lord want to give us Holy Ghost power and harvest, the Lord also wants to give us help and holiness. Listen to what the Lord says here in John 14. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and even greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. And therefore, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You see, brothers and sisters, the Lord is seated at His Father's right hand, but Scripture says that He lives forever there to make intercession for us. The Lord is at His Father's right hand praying for us. You know that old gospel song. Somebody prayed for me. Had me on his mind. Took the time and prayed for me. I'm so glad he prayed. I'm so glad he prayed for me. The Lord Jesus Christ is at his Father's right hand, pulling on his Father's sleeve, saying, Father, I died for them. See how much I love them? Let's do it for them, Father. Let's give them what they need. Let's help them. And so again, the Lord is saying, don't you understand? Because I'm praying for you, everything is possible. It says again here in the text, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and even greater things besides. Why? Because I go to the Father. So that whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Jesus, He's not up there at His Father's right hand enjoying a glass of wine. He's up there watching us, praying for us, interceding for us. And because He is, brothers and sisters, everything is possible. I didn't say everything was easy. I said everything is possible. Finally, the Lord not only goes to give us Holy Ghost power and harvest and help, but He finally He comes to give us habitation. Listen to what Jesus says in John 14. In my Father's house there are many mansions, and one of them I go to prepare for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will then come again and call you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. You see, Jesus is not just up there praying. He's also got a hard hat on, and He's got some blueprints open, and He's directing the building of your mansion. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you so. And one of these mansions I go to prepare for you. I go to prepare a place for you. Church, when it's finished, He'll come calling. Now make sure you don't go kicking and screaming, because He has a mansion for you. If you're faithful and you stay away from serious sin, you're going to ascend with Him. And He's already prepared a place for you. It must be an awfully beautiful place, amen? So, brothers and sisters, the Lord has ascended today, not to leave us alone, not to abandon us, but to send us the Holy Ghost, to send us the Holy Spirit, to bring in a great harvest for the church, to give us help so that all things become possible, and to prepare a dwelling place for us in His Father's kingdom. I guess it's true. The old gospel song, I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I guess it's true to sing that old Motown song, Your love, Lord, is lifting me higher than I've ever, I said, than I've ever been lifted before. Amen. Yeah.